Well, let's move on to our next pericope, which is Luke chapter 1, 46 through 55. It is the Revised Common Lectionary passage for Advent 3, which is December the 11th. Al, would you read it for us, please?
Sure. Mary said, "With all my heart I glorify the Lord. In the depths of who I am, I rejoice in God my Savior. He has looked with favor on the low status of his servant. Look, from now on, everyone will consider me highly favored because the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. He shows mercy to everyone, from one generation to the next, who honors him as God. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered those with arrogant thoughts and proud inclinations. He has pulled the powerful down from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty-handed. He has come to the aid of his servant Israel, remembering his mercy, just as he promised to our ancestors, to Abraham and to Abraham's descendants forever."
Mary's Magnificat is a beloved passage of Scripture, and I could tell you like it too, just the way you read it. What stands out to you in this contemplation of her song?
Well, first, I usually tend to stick to the NIV translation. I like reading some of the others, but when you mentioned that we were going to read from the Common English Bible, and I read this passage, I'm so glad you picked that translation because what jumped out at me was right there at the beginning, "With all my heart, I glorify the Lord in the depths of who I am." Mary is feeling this sense of awe and worship to the depths of her bones. It's just bubbling up out of her. And I get this sense that she couldn't stop herself from singing God's praises at this moment, even if she wanted to. Right? And I was trying to think, how can we relate to this? And I thought back to the concept of proposing. When I propose to my wife, there's that moment because you're a little like, what if she says no? And but you propose and she says yes, and you're happy and all that. But I thought back, and it was after that, you know, nights afterwards, days afterwards, that I was sitting there when this joy was just like, she said yes. It was like, it was just hitting me. She said yes. My whole life is now going to be different for the better. And to me, that was the closest I could come to what Mary is feeling here, is that it's just this joy that she's feeling, and it's bubbling up, and it's not just this instant thing. It's something that's just percolating, and it just keeps bubbling up. The more and more she thinks about, everyone will consider me highly favored. This is something that is going to change not just me. This is going to change everything. This is going to change my generation, but this is going to change everything for all of humanity. And so she's just like, wow. And she just can't help but sing and praise. And this is probably this song probably captures how she was feeling for days and weeks, just contemplating as this little baby grows inside of her and she feels this kick. It's probably something that she just repeated to herself again and again. God is faithful, and I'll stop there.
She said yes. That sounds like a jewelry commercial. Mary obviously said amen to God's amen to her, and she recognized that she was highly favored with God. And that favor is unique and particular to her. But let me ask you this, can the particularity of her favoredness show us something which is universally true about all of us? And if so, how so? And if not, why not?
Yeah, good question. What God does for her, she says he looked with favor on the low status of his servant. And that's what he's done for all of us, because in one sense, all of us have that low status. All of us are sinners. All of us live under that Adam and Eve's line. And he's done this act for all of us, this act of mercy, that of Jesus, the Son coming and being incarnate in Jesus, he's done for everyone. So it's this personal story between God and Mary. And yet in Mary, it's also our story, in that God is a personal God. He shows each of us great favor just simply because we're now adopted in the Son through the Spirit. We are now in Christ, and the Father now looks at you and at me and at all of us as beloved sons and beloved daughters. So this feeling of awe and victory and worship that Mary feels, and her song of praise, she does on our behalf because it's our story too. God has looked on us, the least, the last, the little, the lost, as Robert Capon likes to say, those that seem to be dead to society, and he has given us favor. Mary recognizes that she's entered the unfolding story of God's fidelity to Abraham and his seed way back in the story in Genesis 12, where he promises that all nations will be blessed through you. And she's now a part of this story that continues to unfold generation after generation. And so just as she's a part of it, we now get to be a part of it too.
Well, with that in mind, O favored one, Al Korjava, what else would you like for us to see and hear from this passage?
Two things. And the first I'll just point to somewhere else, and that is the place of Israel in God's heart. He did not abandon them at the cross any more than he ever abandoned Gentiles. They've always been a part of his plan. And I can't articulate as well, but T.F. Torrance in his book, The Mediation of Christ, just does such a great job of recognizing that. And so I'll just point to that way, because that was something that jumped out in this passage, that Mary is part of that Jewish story, and that Jesus comes within Israel's story for Israel. You know, when Paul goes out, he would go to the synagogues first, and he wanted to share the story with the Jews, and then he would then share it with the Gentiles, because the story is for both. And then the other thing that in this passage that I really like is God sees us. It's the Zacchaeus that you mentioned just previously, right? He's in this tree. He's a short little guy. He's in a tree trying to get a glimpse of Jesus, and Jesus sees him. Jesus sees Hannah, who is sitting there, and she wants to have a child so badly, and she's praying, and she goes to the temple year after year, and God sees her. And then there's this beautiful story with Hagar when Hagar takes Ishmael and leaves because Sarah is just torturing her practically and giving her such a hard time. And God says, Hagar, where are you going? And talks to her and says that you're your son Ishmael, and says what the name of Ishmael will be. And it's God hears. So God hears us. And then Hagar goes, names this place, and it's, and she names it because you are the God who sees me. So it's these little people, the Hagars and the Hannahs and the Zacchaeuses and you and me, and that God sees us. He cares for us. And in Mary's song, I think that's where it comes out. She's a nobody. She's a nobody, and yet God sees her and includes her in his wonderful plan that he has for all of us.
Your reflections made me think of Luke chapter 13, a recent lectionary passage where Jesus is in the synagogue teaching, and he sees a woman who had been bent over for 18 years and calls her forward to participate in her healing that day based on his loving initiative. And this is who God is. And I think this is why Mary sings with all of her heart, and where we can sing too, because as it says in verse 50, he shows mercy to everyone.
Yeah.
That's all of us. We are the lowly who have been lifted high in the ascension. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Oh, hallelujah. And I love that what you just said. He takes the initiative. That's what's so wonderful about this God. He takes the initiative. And then, oh, wow. Yep.
Yeah.